Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
David Cobb is a college basketball and college football writer for CBS Sports. Also, role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. David, what's happening, man? Good to talk with you.
Hey, good to talk with you, my man. I'm in the process of trying to rank the top 50, yes, the top 50 quarterbacks in college football. So I am deep into the G5, scraping the bottom of the Sun Belt right now to look for players to fill that out. So that's what I'm up to.
Brendan Lewis, did he make an appearance? Is he going to make an appearance? What do we think, David?
Brendan Lewis is under consideration. I've got about 45. I've got about 45 who I know are going to be in here, and about 40 of them are Power Four. The last 10 or so are going to be G5 quarterbacks.
All right.
Brendan Lewis will probably start the season outside the ranking, but this is something I'm going to do every week.
Okay.
And it's going to be 50 every week. So, you know, you go out there and throw for 310 and three tutties against Chattanooga, then, hey, you know, maybe you're in for week two.
I want to try to guess the top of your list, but I have one question. Do you value returning starters, or are you more into projecting these five stars that are now into their starting roles? Just give me an answer to that.
It's going to be largely based on your production to this point.
Okay.
Now, of course, that doesn't mean, you know, Arch Manning is still going to be highly ranked, even though he's only started two games.
DJ Lagway, too. Dante Moore probably cracks the list. Even though, actually, I don't know. With you, I don't know. you're not that big of a buyer into Dante Moore. At least not as big a buyer as me.
Dante Moore will be on the list. He probably won't be as high as some Oregon fans would like. This list is, I mean, I don't think I've ever written anything that's going to make people more mad than this ranking. I mean, you know, because some really good quarterback is going to be 37th on this list, and their fan base is going to be up in arms about it. But, you know, they wanted me to do it. I said, sure, that sounds like an interesting assignment. So here we are.
More mad than Coach Prime in Colorado? They still have it out for you.
Ooh. Yeah, you know, there's that YouTube video out there with that internet sleuth who thinks that Dion's beef with CBS was about me specifically. People still send me that all the time. They're like, whoa, I had no idea that Dion had it out for you like that. And I'm like, man, it's not me, but thank you. I'll take it.
So if you value returning production, Garrett Nussmeier, Cade Klubnik, Drew Aller are going to grace the top of that list for the most part.
Probably. I don't have it solidified.
Okay.
As of yet. But, you know, it's interesting, too, because you do have some high-quality quarterbacks occasionally who aren't necessarily at high-quality programs. Like, for example, like Noah Fifita at Arizona.
Very
I mean,
true.
Arizona might go they might go 4-8, but that's a quarterback who I would think of as a top 20 quarterback in college football. I mean, look at Taylen Green at Arkansas. I think he's a really good quarterback. I don't love what they have around him, though. So what do you do with a guy like that? I think that's going to be shocking to some people as well when you might have the Arkansas quarterback ranked top 20 on the list, and he's playing for a program that's going to be fighting to make a bowl game.
I did not expect to go here. I'll fully admit that. Didn't expect to talk the bottom of the Big 12, but Arizona, why did they fall off a cliff so bad? Is it really like the Jed Fish to Brent Brennan switch was that big of an issue last year?
Well, from listening to some people who know a little bit more about the situation on the ground there at Arizona, I mean, it just sort of sounds like the classic example of you have a significant amount of churn. I mean, yeah, look, they kept Tet McMillan. They kept Noah Fifita.
Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, even though he didn't play a lot, he got injured.
Sure. But you get deeper into the roster last year and some of the pieces that they had to pick up from the portal, it just didn't really work out. Culturally, it doesn't sound like that team was fully bought in, and now you got a hot seat situation, maybe even in year two at Arizona with Brent Brennan, if things don't go well. But, I mean, the fact that they still have Noah Fifita is pretty impressive. It's interesting because you might have thought he would eventually follow Jed Fish to Washington, but Jed Fish found himself a stud in Damond Williams, who's going to be really good at QB for them this year. So that's an interesting situation there at Arizona, because it was trending up under Jed Fish and they couldn't keep him. And, you know, I don't know if I would have left a good thing at Arizona for a really tough situation in the Big Ten now at Washington, but hey, Jed Fish did. And when he did, he left a bad situation behind at Arizona.
All right. Now today, Memphis fans are wafting their face with a bunch of dollar bills saying it smells like broken here, because University of Memphis and FedEx have carved out a new deal. It's a sponsorship agreement where FedEx is going to have, I guess, on the sideline, a superimposed FedEx Leaping Tiger logo that you know, basically shepherds them into the future. They're also going to have FedEx in the end zone. And from what I understand, this is one of the very few deals like this in college football at this point. How big of a deal, in your opinion, is this? I know the FedEx NIL influx of money, the 5 years, $25 million was big. But in your opinion, how much bigger does this feel?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of a corporation anywhere in college athletics that is more deeply invested in the success of a athletic department than FedEx is with Memphis.
Maybe Nike and Oregon, right? Nike and Oregon? Maybe.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Outside of Nike and Oregon with Phil Knight, I mean, you know, if you want to do it to scale, though, I mean, on the scale of where Memphis is in college athletics, what FedEx does for Memphis is you know, as kind of like what Nike does for Oregon. Now, obviously, Oregon has a little bit of a larger stage. It's a little bit of a larger department and all that. But, I mean, you just think about the support that Nike gives to Oregon. It's I would say, on scale, similar to what FedEx does for Memphis. And it's huge. And so, you know, I thought today was I thought it was good what Ed Scott is doing, kind of getting out there. Not that he's ever been afraid of doing an interview. I mean, he's been in studio at 92.9 multiple times already. Yep. Since he took the job. You know, having the GCM folks out today, I thought was a nice touch, and sort of taking back the narrative, because the narrative after the Yahoo report about the Big 12 was, you know, sort of outside of your control for a few weeks. Now you let that blow over and you go back out there, and it's, oh, perfect timing to do that, right? Because you got this FedEx announcement as well. And so it's huge. And I think it's big too, because you just sort of wonder a little bit in the back of your mind, after a legend and an icon and a benefactor like Fred yep. Smith passes, you know, what's that relationship going to be like moving forward? And this is a clear sign that FedEx remains really invested.
But it does bring back the age-old question that you need to ask if you're the University of Memphis, to the Big 12, to the ACC, to whoever you're trying to align with. What else you need? What else you need us to do? Please let us know, because that's a question we still don't have answers to. And it's kind of funny. I heard Ed Scott on with Gary today, Gary Parrish, at Grind City Media, and he doesn't really have an answer to it, which seems rather insane to me. Like, I would expect somebody in the know who's been in those meetings and, you know, gone through all of the PowerPoint presentations to have some idea of, okay, what's next? What else do you want us to accomplish? And he doesn't seem to have a full grasp of it.
Well, because it feels like you've done everything that you can do. It doesn't feel like that offer that they made was, it was everything. I mean, it was you're trying to buy a $300,000 house and you're offering $550,000 and saying we'll pay in cash. That's what it was. And when the seller says no, I guess basically what it is like the Big 12 was saying, hey, there are no houses for sale in this neighborhood. It does not matter how much you offer. There is no property available in this neighborhood. And that's insulting, honestly. I thought it was good, though. You know, Ed Scott said this was round one. This was our first kind of crack at it. And now everybody knows, hey, look, even after this rejection, FedEx is still throwing its support behind this program. And, you know, like the football stadium renovation is still going on. And, so it's only going to get better, I think, at Memphis in terms of the bones of the thing, right? I mean, we'll see what the results are on the field for football this year. We have our doubts about the basketball team, and I get all that. But outside, if you can separate the on-field performance, which might still be really good, even if it is good, separate that for a second and look at all the other things that you might want to tout to the Big 12. I think all those things are still really attractive, and you know, Memphis has done everything that it could possibly do to position itself for realignment. I think it's in a really good place, and I continue to be impressed with Ed Scott and with the vision that he has, and with that single-minded focus of trying to elevate Memphis and get it to a better place.
Yeah, it is kind of funny though. Like I hate that this is my thought with Ed Scott and how good he has been and how phenomenal a job he's done in just a year and a half. It's just like, I know that other antennas around the country are up. If they're unhappy with their AD, that's a place to look. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that right now, but this has been a very good and you know, the University of Memphis is flourishing in a year and a half under Ed Scott.
Yeah, it's a great point. I hadn't even really gotten there yet. that's a good thing, right? If you've hired an administrator, a coach, or whatever, who is going to be interesting to other schools, then that means you're doing something well. You're doing something right, and you know that is something they'll eventually have to navigate. But man, I don't want to discount what Laird Veach did. I mean, I'm sure he maintained these relationships and he got the ball rolling on some of these things, but it just seems like Ed Scott is a lot more aggressive about it.
And you usually have either the figurehead or the fundraiser, and it feels like Ed Scott does both incredibly well.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. You have to. I mean, you got to have a grinder sort of mentality at a job like Memphis right now. You haven't arrived yet. It's not just showing up to a rubber chicken dinners and shaking hands and slapping backs and, you know, and then maybe making a coaching hire every now and then. You know, it's serious work right now and really trying to grind your way to something, to a better place. And I think it's interesting too, like the messaging that he's putting out there about wanting to get better in across the board. I think I saw something today. I can't remember which interview it was in, but 18 of the 21 sports getting some form of revenue share. I mean, that's big time because that gives your other programs a chance to succeed too. In an era when it feels like everything is about football and basketball, you know, he's kind of going in and getting serious about getting better at the other sports too. And, you know, I don't know to what extent that's going to elevate their attractiveness to the Big 12, but, if I'm a coach on campus right now and I'm getting some of that money and some of that rep share, I mean, the pressure's on. It's time to go out there and win at the University of Memphis. And it feels like he's got a competitive edge about him that is, you don't always expect that for the down ballot sports as much. And, you know, he certainly seems to bring that to the table.
Now in other news, and we have not caught up on this since the news came out over the weekend, Pete Thamel put out the first report on it, but the Big Ten, Tony Petitti, they can't agree with anything the SEC says. We know they hold the bargaining chips when it comes to the college football playoff going forward into 2026, 2027 and onward. But the most recent report from the Big Ten is 24-28 team college football playoff. I'm going to ask it this way. Is this a power play, or do you think that Tony Petitti's serious? Or is it both? I guess it could be both.
I would have to imagine it's a power play. It's one of those things where you put something out there so absurd. It's like, you know how Trump will just say something
Correct.
Just totally off the wall.
We're going to take Canada.
And make, yeah, exactly. You don't really mean that. But what it does is it gets people mad. It gets people talking and it gets them to say, okay, well we're not going to do that. But maybe we can talk about this other thing. And this other thing that Tony Petitti wants is a 16-team playoff that has automatic qualifiers for a certain number of teams from each league. That's kind of what he's been after all along. And maybe by floating this 28-team idea, maybe he thinks it'll get the other stakeholders to say, whoa, hold on. All right, we're not doing 28, but I guess if that's really what, you know, the direction you want to take it, maybe we can talk about your 16-team proposal right. A little bit more seriously.
It feels like a power play to get the SEC to go to 9 conference games. No, like that's the ultimate thing he wants, because I would assume, and maybe I'm wrong on this, if the SEC went to 9 conference games, he'd be a lot more agreeable to 5 automatic qualifiers and 11 at-larges. That's my assumption.
And did you see? Yeah, and did you see today? I haven't had the chance to dive into it yet, so I can't explain like the details of it. But the CFP did release.
Yeah, I saw this.
Yeah, memo. Basically,
you want me to read it?
How strength. Sure. Yeah, I mean the strength of schedule. Go for it.
Yeah, changes for the upcoming season include enhancements to the tools that the selection committee uses to assess strength of schedule and how teams perform against their schedule. The current strength of schedule metric has been adjusted to apply greater weight to games against strong opponents. An additional metric, record strength, has been added to the selection committee's analysis to go beyond a team's strength of schedule, schedule strength, to assess how a team performed against that schedule. The metric awards teams defeating high-quality opponents while minimizing the penalty for losing to such a team. Conversely, these changes will provide minimal reward for defeating lower-quality opponents while imposing a greater penalty for losing to such a team. Which, it sounds like what strength of schedule is now, but I guess there's extra components and metrics that they'll have at their disposal.
And this is what it's going to take to get the SEC to finally agree to play 9 conference games, is some sort of schedule strength that is actually quantifiable, that is really punitive for playing FCS teams or playing lower tier G5 teams. We don't have that. Like, everybody talks about strength of schedule and stuff, but it's really ultimately, it's never really reflected, I don't feel like, in the CFP rankings. But if it is, and if what this new system that came out today, you know, if that's what it is, then that's what it's going to take to get the SEC to say, okay, we'll go to 9 games. And I think, I don't know if that gets us any closer to the Big Ten's playoff formula, but I think it's definitely a step in the right direction, because, I mean, it would be so much better for everyone, except for the coaches who have those bowl game incentives in their contracts. It would be better for everybody except for them if the SEC would go to 9 conference games.
But David, listen, and I'm okay. Like, I've advocated and said the SEC should go to 9. It makes sense. You've added 2 more teams. Do it. But I still think it's the biggest lie ever told by the Big Ten that their schedule is harder because they play 9 games as opposed to the 8 conference games that the SEC plays. Like, if you just go off strength of schedule numbers from last season and the metrics that we have in place right now, there were 8 teams in the SEC that were top 15. And there were 4 in the Big Ten. So, like, I think it's a huge lie that they tell themselves, the Big Ten, that is, that their strength of schedule is harder because they play more conference games. I don't think that's true at all. And I don't think anybody with eyes or with a functioning football brain, for the most part, feels that way. And maybe I hope I didn't offend you by saying that, if you feel that way.
No, well, there's 2 things. I mean, 2 caveats. One, it's cyclical because the schedules are so imbalanced now. Like, for example,
sure,
I would say Wisconsin's Big Ten schedule is a lot tougher than Missouri's SEC schedule is this year, because Wisconsin, because of the draw, they play a harder run of the Big Ten teams than Missouri does in the SEC. Now, that's not often the case. Like, in most cases, I think what you're saying is correct. But if you're the SEC and strength of schedule is properly rewarded and you go to 9, well, then you have a leg up on the Big Ten, and all your 9-3 teams have a shot at making the playoff, whereas the Big Ten's 9-3 teams wouldn't. But if you just sit at eight games, then your 9-win teams are just going to have the same shot or a lesser chance even than the Big Ten's. So, you know, I think you're right. But until strength of schedule is properly weighted, there's no incentive for the SEC to really go to 9.
Okay. Now, Before I let you roll, I want to have a little bit of fun. I know it's the Wednesday of week zero, but I want to break down and get your picks on week zero and week one. And these are subject to change because we'll talk plenty of times between now and all those top 10 matchups in week one. But let's start with this weekend in Dublin. Iowa State, Kansas State, Kansas State, 3-point favorites. How you feel?
Yeah, I'm actually leaning towards the dogs. I'm going with Iowa State for my pick in that one.
Okay. Texas, Ohio State in the shoe, 1-3. And we know that Ohio State, 2.5-point favorites being at home.
Yeah, I saw a stat where quarterbacks making their starting debut against the number one ranked team are like 0-18 all time. So I'm going to go with Texas.
Okay, you're going to go with Texas. LSU, Clemson. Clemson, of course, 4-point favorites there.
I'm going LSU, which I'm a little leery now because I'm realizing I'm picking the road team in both of the big time matchups. I think LSU is going to be good. I don't think they're going to lose another week one showcase game. I just think there's too much at stake. So yeah, give me the LSU Tigers.
Newly named starter at Notre Dame, CJ Carr, is going to visit Hard Rock Stadium to face the Miami Hurricanes with new starter there, Carson Beck. 6-10. Notre Dame, 2.5-point favorites. And by the way, CJ Carr, I put this out on my social media, but it rings true, and maybe I'm telling on myself because I was a high school football captain at a suburban school around then. He looks like every high school football captain circa 2010 at a suburban high school. He just does. The buzz cut, the 5 o'clock shadow, it's all there.
Yes, the grandson of
Lloyd Carr.
Yeah, Michigan legend. I'm going to stick with the road team mantra here. Notre Dame's defense is going to be nasty. Like, it's going to be maybe the best defense in all of college football. Miami's got to get on the same page with Carson Beck and a new group of receivers. So, yeah, give me the Fighting Irish.
And we'll go off the spread for this one because I think this is going to end in a win for Alabama, number 8 team in the country. But they're visiting Florida State.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Castellanos, of course, the new starter there. They've rebuilt that roster. Mike Norvell has to get it going. But it's 13.5. Alabama's favored by 13.5.
I actually kind of like Alabama against that spread right. Because Castellanos just won't stop talking. Did you see today?
Yeah.
Apparently he said that he doesn't think he'll face a defense tougher than what he's faced in practice against Florida State. Like, I mean, you just keep adding fuel to the fire for Alabama.
Stupid comment, too. You haven't faced another defense besides the Florida State defense. How the hell would you know? I saw that, and I'm like, just stop talking, please.
And
I know Mike, if I know anything about Mike, because we had a couple of trash talkers through the media in my day at Memphis. I know he hates it. He can't stand that stuff. I'm sure he loves confidence, but when it gets to that arrogant sort of spot and, you know, sort of hyping up yourself a little bit too much, he seems to be opposed to that.
Yeah, this is exactly why coaches have such a tight rein on their media access. And I'm not blaming the media. Thomas Castellanos is just a loose cannon. and I think that's kind of the way he plays, too. And so, we've talked about it, man. I'm pretty high on Alabama. I'm pretty high on what Ty Simpson could do. I like that receiver room a lot. I love the addition of Ryan Grubb. I think the defense will be pretty good. I could just see this one being close for about a quarter and a half in for Florida State to kind of be in the mix and a 10-7 ball game, but then they commit a catastrophic turnover and then third quarter comes around and Alabama just sort of starts to just crush them a little bit and ends up getting out of there with something like a 34-17 or 28-10 type of win. I could very easily see that one going that direction.
For sure. Well, David, I'll let you roll, man. We'll talk again on Friday.
All right, man. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. He is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X. College basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports. Role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Jeffrey Wright and Company on Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Now, we need to take a trip around the National Football League. We have a very, very important injury to discuss on the other side. So stick around. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and it's time to take a trip around the National Football League. Connor, let's get it going. More of a Memphis story. Former teammate of mine, Patrick Taylor Jr., will miss the entire 2025 NFL season with a shoulder injury, and it's just brutal. It really is. He was a guy who the 49ers really liked. Last year he got some carries because Christian McCaffrey's full season injury. But he's going to get back on the field. He's expected to make a full recovery. Just wanted to shout that out and let people know Patrick Taylor Jr. will not be getting any carries this year because of a shoulder injury. Browns quarterback room. I know we consistently talk about this because Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco were in it. And mostly Shedeur Sanders. That's why we talk about it. But the question has come up on several occasions. Will they keep four quarterbacks on their active roster? Because they have six rostered right now when you include Snoop Huntley, who they signed a couple of weeks ago. But Kevin Stefanski spoke yesterday on who everyone seems to think is the odd man out, Kenny Pickett. And I'm paraphrasing here, but what he had to say is we're still excited about what Kenny Pickett can provide for our franchise. So that makes me get back into my head starting to think they may end up keeping four quarterbacks on this roster. And what I would say to that also is why not? You don't expect Joe Flacco at 41 years old to go through 17 full games, do you? You need to have as many options as possible in that quarterback room to run out there from week to week. So it seems pretty likely at this moment, and Adam Schefter did say this as well, seems pretty likely they will keep all four quarterbacks that they went into camp with. Anthony Richardson, of course, was named the backup while Daniel Jones was named the starter in Indianapolis. And he was the fourth overall pick in the 2023 class. And there's been a lot of things said about it. We talked about it yesterday. Anthony Richardson has to do himself some favors by getting into the film room and understanding where to slide protections, working on his accuracy, doing all the things that go into being an NFL quarterback. But Anthony Richardson's agent, De'Eric Jackson, responded to the Colts naming Daniel Jones the starter and said, trust is a big factor, and that is at best questionable right now. And they are debating as of right this second whether they should ask for a trade, ask out, and get elsewhere. I'm not so certain that his value on the open market is fantastic, but I do think there are some guys that do well with quarterbacks that could get something out of them. I look at a guy like, I know this is going to sound crazy, Sean McVay with the Rams. Matt Stafford doesn't have much of a leash anymore. Maybe he could see if he could rehabilitate and get Anthony Richardson to where he needs to be to be an NFL starter. We always know Kevin O'Connell does really good work with quarterbacks with the Minnesota Vikings. So there could be some spots out there that could give me hope about Anthony Richardson, but they are very unhappy with the Colts, and I understand why. Also, Anthony Richardson's agent is not the only one angry about the way things have shaken out here. Quentin Nelson, all pro guard for the Colts, basically put out all of his frustrations to the media yesterday and saying that I'm tired of going into every single season with a new starting quarterback and a new voice. And you know what, Quentin? I completely understand that. Consistency is key. Continuity is key. And if you're trying to compete for the playoffs, potentially win a Super Bowl at some point, and you know you're tired of being 8-9, 9-8 and missing the playoffs, you need to find some consistency. And the Colts have had anything but that. Saints head coach Kellen Moore, new head coach Kellen Moore, said he will use his team's final preseason game Saturday against the Broncos to make a decision at quarterback. They're one of the very few teams in the NFL that have yet to name a starting quarterback. It's coming down to Tyler Shuck, their second-round pick, and Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler, who they took a couple of years ago, or last year, in the NFL draft, I believe in the fifth round. And this is a quote he gave. It's really, really close. Numbers, experience, reps, everything. It's going all the way to the start, back to the start of training camp. Everything is very, very close between this group. We'll see how it all plays out. I mean, this reminds me very much. You watch South Park, right? It reminds me of a South Park episode that they made around, I believe, the 2016 election, where it was between a turd sandwich and it was a feminine care product that I cannot say because of FCC regulations. But no matter what decision you make, you're not going to succeed. That's basically the idea. I don't see this Saturday game really being a decision-making game. Just throw someone out there as a starter. If they stink, throw the next guy in. If they stink, throw the next guy in. If they stink, start it back over. It'll be a revolving door, just what the Saints are going to be in 2025-26. Big news of the day is that Lamar Jackson had to exit practice with the help of the strength and conditioning staff and the training staff. And I don't have a straight answer on exactly what happened, Connor. I just know that he was not able to finish practice. There were some reports that he was flexing his wrist and his wrist was uncomfortable after being hit to the ground. And there was another one saying he got, this is the story that the Ravens are telling, his foot got stepped on and he was in some discomfort and they took him off and it's all good. He's going to be completely fine. Now, I don't think either of these injuries are going to hold him out of week one, but it's something to keep an eye on. When it comes to pain management, the quarterback position, how much Lamar Jackson runs, how many hits he takes, that wear and tear early in the season is something you want to stay away from. And it seems like he has a little bit of that going on right now. Now, know what you can do? You can go sign up for LA Fitness. Go to LA Fitness today. They have a new lift room at just about all their locations. They have pools. They have basketball courts. They have saunas. They have 7 Memphis area locations to choose from. So you're always going to have one close to work and close to home. And right now, they're giving a free 3-day trial to you at LAFitness.com. Just go there, sign up for it, see if you like it. And I promise you, you're going to like it. And here's the other thing they do offer. If you have children and you need to take care of your children, but you want to get your workout in, they offer babysitting at the Kids Club. At the Kids Club, $10 per month per child. If you have paid for any type of childcare, you know how good of a deal that is. But you can join now for $24.99 per month, $29.99 if you want access to all 7 locations in the Memphis area, $59 annual to access any single club in the Memphis area. Membership auto-renews and requires first and last month's dues at joining. Additional terms and conditions do apply. Small talk is on the way right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Stick around for that. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, today's theme for Small Talk is why post-game pressers and post-practice pressers are some of the most egregious things we do in the sports world. We'll start out at Florida State in Tallahassee, where Thomas Castellanos talked about the Florida State defense. Tommy, I would choose your words a little bit better. You're playing Alabama here in a week. Deontay Lawson, Damani Jackson, LT Overton, a really good defensive coordinator. I would be very, Kane Womack, I would be very, very careful with choosing your words. And also what I would say to Tommy is, how in the world would you know that? You've played one defense. You don't have preseason games in college football. Your points of reference for practice defenses are Boston College and a Florida State team coming off a 2-10 season. Now, I'm not saying Florida State's defense is going to be bad. That's not what I'm saying in the slightest. But what I am saying is this statement on the surface makes no sense because you've faced no other defenses. And on top of that, you play Clemson and Alabama. Clemson has Peter Woods, who likely will be a top 5 pick next year. They have a corner as well that'll be a top 20 pick. Both those defenses ranked in the top 20 of total defense last year in college football. Alabama was number 10. And they return everybody, just about everybody. Tommy, please stop opening your mouth at these press conferences. Be more careful, because I am, based on all the trash he has talked about Alabama and saying his team's the best team ever and his offense is going to run over everybody. No one can stop me. I feel like Alabama's gonna wake you up. Now, let's also go out, and this is on the other side. This is not a player giving a stupid response. This is a reporter asking a stupid question to start a presser. I would say it's generally frowned upon to bring up past transgressions. We know that Myles Garrett in Cleveland was caught for going 160 very recently. It's his fifth driving offense since he's been drafted by the Browns. It is a problem. There's no doubt about it. But just play this question that was asked to him at the very beginning of his post-practice presser.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No one wants to know. No one wants to know the answer to that question.
I know it was a little quiet. For if you couldn't hear it, the reporter asked what it was like to be in the car and watch the speedometer increase to 100 miles per hour. You remember yesterday when we said that Oklahoma, what they should do with the fundraiser that they are trying to say is for the fans, which is also for them, and people can... They can be in the room and ask questions. And
yes.
This was a Browns fan asking a question. Like, what the hell is going on?
What is it like,
That's
Miles?
An absolutely insane question
what
to ask
What is
somebody,
it like, Miles,
unless
to
you're
behind...
covering the Georgia Bulldogs.
Right. What's it like to get behind the wheel of the car and see that speedometer get up to 100 miles per hour? People want the answers, Miles. Answer this. No one wants the answer to that question. I think the question that people would want an answer to is, why do you speed so much? But I also wouldn't suggest asking that question at the beginning of a post-practice presser. What in the world? I need the name of this guy. I need to know who he works for. And we need to, maybe we don't take his credential away. He can take notes while everybody else asks questions. I don't need to hear another question from this guy. What is it like to get behind the wheel of the car and see a speedometer go to 100 miles per hour? That's a question you ask Ricky Bobby, okay? That's not a question you're going to ask Myles Garrett after he just got caught by the police for the fifth time for doing an aggressive, egregious speeding offense on the road. What in the world was that question?
It was
insane.
It genuinely felt like a fan snuck in and asked the question. Just insane. I think that it is understandable to ask about the incident, like you said, but to describe the feeling of watching this.
When you feel all those horses in your hands.
Brother, go watch Fast and Furious and take a cold shower, all right? Let's relax. Let's settle down a little bit.
I think Tokyo Drift is on streaming. You can go watch it if you want. It's okay.
Was it Vin Diesel?
Yeah, it was Vin ass.
Family. Miles, your family. What was it like watching that speedometer?
But dude, I love him after asking that question to Miles, completely shrugging it off, him saying, people want the answers to this. We don't, like, that was the worst worded, I mean, don't ask that, first of all, until you're deeper into a presser. But don't ask it that way. Like, what? I mean, you could ask, do you think speeding's a problem for you? Do you think you're going to be more careful on the road going forward? Like, there's other ways to ask. I wouldn't ask it that way either way, you know. But to say, How does it feel when you get behind the wheel of a car and you see that speedometer revving up to 100 miles per hour? What a psycho.
Just insane.
What a psycho.
Just insane.
I cannot believe. And that was the opening question. Connor, if you can believe that. Opening question today for Myles Garrett. That Ravens reporter or fan or what, we can speculate all we want. Don't ask questions anymore. That's you have lost your question privileges. Hour number three is on the way, and we're going to open it with Colton Denning. Colton Denning is next to talk some college football right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.